Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
In any existing business, there is so much space and room to enhance, innovate it. Remember, sa mundong ito, paulit-ulit naman eh. Bihira naman talagang may magpapap-up na new concept na from heaven. Once in a lifetime, maybe. But most that you will see are, balikan natin ang successful brands. There are a lot of twists, a lot of innovation that makes them different. That's it. You just have to open your eyes.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning from wherever you are watching here in the Philippines and from all over the world. And welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. In this podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business, what are their success secrets in business, how have they innovated their businesses during this pandemic, and more importantly, what opportunities do they see emerging in this new normal. Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. Drop me a message. I would love to learn from them. Tonight, a very special guest, a good friend of mine. I've learned so much from this gentleman when it comes to franchising and marketing and pivoting your business, especially during a pandemic. He is Richie Cuna. He is a businessman and entrepreneur who owns Pure Gelato, a brand that sells pure Italian ice cream. It is the flagship of his group called the Milken Group, which Cuna also owns. Aside from Pure Gelato, he also created the brands Donburi Mix, which is a casual Japanese dine-in, DM Express, which is Japanese quick eats, and Kurimi Milk Tea Bar, which is very popular right now, being a Japanese milk tea. His businesses survived and thrived and pivoted in the pandemic, and I'd like to hear from him how he was able to do that. At the same time, he was also encouraged. He also worked together with his friend, John Chung, also another franchise expert, in coming up with the brand Kurimi. And with that, please welcome here right now to our show, Richie Cuna. Richie, welcome.
Yes, good evening, my friend RJ. Thank you so much for
Hey, Richie, how are you doing
tonight?
Thanks so much for joining us here today.
Yeah, we're fine. And of course, very excited that you guested us tonight, RJ.
Here's the biggest news about Mr. Richie Cuna and why I'm having here right now. Right now, Richie Cuna, the owner of Milken, is celebrating 30 years of Milken here in the country. And he's got several brands under his platform, which, of course, include not only Fior Gelato. He's also got, like I said, DM Express. He's got Donburi. He's got Kurimi. Richie, tell us a bit more about those brands and just how many you have around the country right now.
Yes, RJ, mentioning the celebration which we'll be having this coming Wednesday, you know, September 14th. And of course, we are very glad that the company has reached its 30th in the business. Now, I know it was not easy, but it's purely, I think it's more the guts of the group, no, to continue operating for almost three decades. And as you mentioned, RJ, yes, we are carrying brands like Fior Gelato, which is our pioneering brand when we started 30 years ago. And it has grown to other brands, no? Like, of course, the DM Express Donburi Mix. And lately, eventually, the Japanese milk tea. So if you'll notice, we've been carrying products which are a bit similar, like both the DM Express, which is a Japanese casual dine-in setup, and the Kurimi are both of a Japanese concept or theme. So I think these are the brands we have been carrying for the past 30 years. And of course, things are just starting. No? When we will celebrate on Wednesday, I said to the group, maybe this is just a start of another 30 years in the industry. So again, we are very happy and very excited that finally we reached the peak of our target of hitting a 30 years in the business. They were asking me recently, Richie, after your 30 years in the business, what's next? So I just told them, of course, we would not let go of what we have created for the past 30 years. In fact, like the Kurimi brand, which only was launched in 2019, I would say still very young, no? And much to be done, much to be expected. It's growing at a rate wherein we get excited, I would have to say, every day. It's a product or a brand which we foresee growing more in the next few years. So they were asking me, are you planning for another 30 years, no, after your celebration on Wednesday? I said, of course. We're just starting to get into a new era of the milking group. So I'm so happy that RJ invited us tonight, because this is a chance for us to, of course, not only to share what we have accomplished for the past three decades, but also to share some tips, maybe some tips on how upcoming or startup business can learn from what we have done for the past 30 years. So another question which was asked from us just this morning, you know, I was meeting some of my colleagues who would be participating on our anniversary on Wednesday. They keep asking, Richie, it seems that the event will focus not only on the achievements for the past 30 years, but more on sharing the not only the tips, but the secrets.
Congratulations on the 30th anniversary. And I keep it in mind, but how many did you start with, and how many do you have right now all over the country of your gelato?
Sure Gelato has reached around 150 stores.
Wow.
Prior to the pandemic, but for obvious reasons, we were reduced. No, we were affected by the lockdowns. But nevertheless, it's picking up. No, schools are open. Businesses are hopefully back to normal, I would say. DM Express has reached 30 stores, both the counter type and the inline stores. But amazing is the Kurimi. You know, RJ, you've been
I can see all these years.
When we started in 2019, we just had three stores. It was supposed to be launched March of 2020. And it was exactly the same month that we had the pandemic. So people were saying, are you crazy, Richie? Will you continue launching a new product, a new brand in the Philippines? So I said, why not? No, it was planned. So right now we are, hopefully, we'll reach around 60 stores by December. So it's a growth which I would say calculated as far as the program of the company, but very exciting, RJ. It's really exciting times, I would say.
And I'm also very excited for you as well, Richie. And you know, in celebration of your 30th anniversary, I think it's very apt for many entrepreneurs who often listen to the show to understand really the journey that you went through to build it up to those many branches, and also what are the strategies that you used to be able to scale the brand that way. So, you know, the interesting story, which many people don't know, 30 years ago when you began your journey as an entrepreneur, was that you weren't anything close to being a food entrepreneur. You were a banker, is that right?
Yes, RJ. It was really a career for me. No, I mean, my banking is really my focus during those years. But like you guys, like RJ, of course, you have the entrepreneurial blood in you. You cannot help it, but divert. No? So what I did that time was to do both. I continued as a banker for, in fact, it's reached around 25 years, and decided to pursue my entrepreneurial journey. So it was simultaneous, RJ, which is advantageous. No, it helped me because you get both sides of the world, like a corporate and your own enterprise as an entrepreneur. So it was really, it started that way. And I would say it's really, if I will go back to where I started, I would tell you, RJ, I don't know how I did it.
Hold on, that's what I was going to ask you.
It just happened as things went. So I went to the flow of things which were happening. But again, it was not an overnight thing. No, I did my own planning. It was, honestly, I keep on telling this, we did a 25 years program. It was a plan which I really had to follow. And luckily, despite all the crisis, of the 80s, the 90s, no, we were able to be on board, no, at the right track. So I think that was a blessing, which I keep on saying thank you for that blessing.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm just wondering, when you started it off, because, I mean, of course, we were all younger during those times, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. How exactly, I mean, because many people are wondering right now, when is the right time for me to continue my day job? And then finally... and then, because you're burning both ends, diba? You're working day on your day job, you're working night on your entrepreneurial job. When did you decide it was time for you to finally say, you know, I'm going to leave my day job to pursue my entrepreneurship passion?
You know, RJ, it wasn't easy. It was a nightmare initially. It was a nightmare. Imagine leaving a secure job, no, being a bank executive, and just letting go of all these opportunities in the career. But I said, enough is enough, no? So midway, when I reached my 25 years in banking, I said, maybe it's about time to do a full-time entrepreneurial job for me. So as I say, it was sleepless nights, but no regrets. No? I would talk now of these things, but during the time, it was not easy. So I would normally tell people, not to just jump to the next thing, no? It's a matter of preparation. It's not only mental, emotional, or even physical, because you'll be doing things left and right as an entrepreneur, but even financial. You'll be losing those freebies and high-paying job as a banker, and you'll be starting from what? Maybe negatives, RJ? Maybe start of your business, you'll feel something like, is it worth it? But it was a preparation. It was a preparation. If you ask me how long, I cannot say days or months. It was a process. It was a process. No? And as I said, it was not overnight. It was a preparation inside me on the aspect which I mentioned, mental, physical, emotional, and financial. And one day, things will say, Richie, this is it. This is it. No turning back. If you pursue leaving your corporate job, of course, you can turn back and say, can I come back? Boss, can I come back to your bank? But it's a decision to cross that bridge and say, this is it for me. So it's really the person who can say, this is the right time for me to move on.
Got that. And then when you did make that cross. I mean, it's not an easy decision to make, no? And when you did it, you just had that entrepreneurial drive. You sort of had sort of like a backup plan was to go back into banking if ever, right? I mean, that's how I perceive it to be.
When I decided to leave my banking career, the Milking Corporation was already moving. It was already working for a couple of years. And I said, if and when I decide to come back, there's no problem because, again, many were getting me as a consultant because I was still fresh from the career. But I said, maybe on the side, I can. I did a little of those services for these institutions. But the focus was there, RJ. I think you need that focus because if you're half-baked on moving on, chances are you keep on looking back. Can I come back? Can I still do what I used to be? You just have to be very decisive. When you say, I will move on to the next career, you have to be decisive.
And when you initially chose, let's say, when you said, I want to be an entrepreneur, you're still in the banking industry. So you had set your sights to eventually putting up your own business. Among the different opportunities that were available to you at the time, why specifically did you choose to do the ice cream business? Was it a passion of yours? Was there a certain problem that you were trying to solve? I mean, how did you fall into this?
Well, first and foremost, RJ, I'm an ice cream lover, like you guys, very much on the ice cream. Huh? And I said when I decided to create a business that time, I wanted to a business which will cater to a lot of the young ones and the not so young and maybe the old ones. No? So I came up with an ice cream. In fact, I started with sorbetes. And it was really more of fun doing things which I love to eat. And eventually decided that this could be a good business. When you do business, of course, it has to be something which you want to do. Imagine this is doing things for the past 30 years. So that's obviously, I'm an ice cream lover, no? And many would like to enter to a business. But at the end of the day, the business doesn't even have the interest in themselves. So that's difficult, no? Why enter to a business which you hate doing it? It's not only because there's money coming in, but you have to do something which you love to do it for the next 3 decades or so. So that's really where I started, no? Is the interest, the like of doing a business initially.
And when you came up with the first flavors of the sorbetero, okay, let's just say, sorbetero, di ba? Yung kanuna, di ba? Sa Filipino ice cream. You were the one who formulated it yourself? Ikaw lang na-create? Yes. How's it like?
Of course, RJ, andun yung paborito natin. No? Of course, the ube, your queso, your makapuno, your chocolate. These are basics, no? Basic flavors which are practically can be what's anywhere. So my need ice cream came in more of a sorbetes, no? Of catering to parties. But I said to myself, that's where the 25 years plan came in. I need a brand or a product which will bring you to where we are right now. So I said, I need to upscale, no, a ice cream business. That's where Fior Gelato came in, no? And Fior Gelato issues history since then.
And how do you evolve from just doing sorbetero? So you said, okay, but sorbetero, I cannot scale this to the degree that I want to scale it.
Yeah.
When did you finally move towards saying, okay, I'm going to choose this type of ice cream to this particular niche, Italian ice cream? And also, how did you move in that direction to create the Fior Gelato brand?
In fact, the sorbetes was a simultaneous. No, we did the sorbetes and the Fior Gelato because it's a different market. So it's practically enjoying, no, doing all these ice cream recipes and formulation. I think this story has really inspired a lot of our startup entrepreneurs on the business side of ice cream. I would even meet some of those who were listening to us 30 years ago. And they are already in the business of ice cream. No? And I'm happy because it was an inspiration, no, for them that if Fior Gelato can do it, why can't we not do it? So it was a good history for Fior Gelato all these 30 years.
Okay, then tell me about it. From the first, what was it like when you put up the first branch? Where was the first branch? How was it like for you when your first freestanding stall?
Yeah, like any of us, RJ, no, our first clients are our surroundings, friends, relatives, aunties, aunts, and eventually became a request from most of the parties. No? So it really started from there. But I said, this is not what I want. I need if you see the history of Milking Group, we would always create a concept which is different. During that time, when I say Fior Gelato, what is Fior Gelato, RJ? Is it a dress? Is it a boutique?
Yes,
they were asking us Fior Gelato. So during that time, you need to explain, you know, what gelato, what is Fior Gelato. There's a lot of effort to explain and make sure people understand what they're selling. But those were the birth pains of creating a unknown brand, a not so famous concept for ice cream. But it was really a process. It was all part of that 25 years program which we did 25 years ago for Pure Gelato.
Well, so you're on track right now because you hit the 30th year.
That's something which I keep on saying, thanks God we were able to do it on track. Because we know a lot of our colleagues either lost focus on what they're doing, lost the interest in what they're doing, or even practically just diverted overnight. I hate doing this. I just do a different thing the next day. But at least in our part, I was very religious on what we really wanted to do all these many years.
And that's often what they describe as grit, diba? In the book of Angela Duckworth, grit is passion and perseverance over the long term. Whether you like to do what you do or you don't like what you're doing, but you do it every day because it must be done.
Yeah, that's why I said earlier, you have to get into a business which you love to do. Imagine, this is not 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. This is 3 decades of doing your business, not like Pure Gelato.
Wow. And then, so Richie, after the first branch, what was the strategy after that? And because, it was successful. When did you know what was the next point on how to grow the brand, whether it's company-owned or to start? We've had Jomag was actually my first guest over here. Jomag of Potato Corner is my first guest, that franchising was going to be your strategy to grow the business. Because like for Jomag, he said, at the very start, I'm really going to use franchising to grow the business. In Japsia, the same way, diba? Yeah. What was your own plan to grow?
Okay, franchising was always there. No? In fact, these are our colleagues, like Jomag and the rest of the guys. No? We all started more or less in the same years, no? In the early 1990s or something like that. Mid-1990s. And my really focus was not to jump into franchising right away. I said, let's give it a couple of years. I want to see the A to Z, the ins and out of running a business before I share the concept to a franchising platform. So, but behind my mind, franchising was always there. Remember, we were one of those guys who were pioneering in the franchising industry those years. And of course, we were really introducing this platform as a vehicle for entrepreneurs to expand their business. So, but again, there should be a lot of careful studies. You have to safeguard the system. These are birth pains, I would say. No, it was not easy during those years. But I think perseverance and discipline, I think I will keep repeating this, the discipline of a entrepreneur, a discipline of a franchisor to be, is very important. This is not a matter of expanding just for the sake of numbers. This is not just a matter of getting money from your franchisees, which is a no-no. This is just not a matter of just doing things to make things good, in the face of people. These are responsibilities. These are moral obligations on our part to share our business and let them expand it through our franchising program. So it was not easy during the initial stages.
And when you talk about the initial stages, I hope you don't mind. I mean, we've gone through many challenges and the pandemic is just the latest. Yeah. But we often talk about the problems in putting up the business. And there were great challenges that came in establishing it, both external and internal crises. External, I'm sure the Asian economic crisis was something that you went through. What are the greatest challenges that you went through? I mean, so people can also learn how they can fortify themselves in the future. Parang alam nila na, I'm going to go through these problems, but what was your perspective? How did you handle them at those times? If you can share
RJ, and the rest of our listeners, it is important that the company or even the people running the company has always in their mindset that they should be ready for any crisis that will come in. You just don't move when the crisis just is in front of you. I think this is a culture which is presently or from the start present with the Milking Group. Because remember, during the 1990s, during our first decade in the business, andyan RJ yung Asian Term Oil. Things were very uncertain during those early and mid-1990s, I would say. And siguro we learned to do it as a habit. And we've gone to the second decade of so many other crises, internal, external. So when the crisis came in of the pandemic on our 30th year, parang sanay na naging culture namin that any crisis, we have to be ready. That's why I know you, we had a lot of sessions during the pandemic, RJ. You were doing a lot of interviews. I already mentioned this, that when the crisis came in March 2022, mga May pa lang onboard na yung Milking Group for another, we were already moving for a adjustment of what we should do on a new normal. That fast, no? It was a instant for all of us to just do a reinventing of ourselves. That's early as that stage of the 2020. So it was a habit. So I think for people who would say, when should I be prepared? Be prepared from the start. You can never know when the crisis will come in.
Really, really sage advice coming from you. And I want to go a bit into what you actually did for your brands, you know, during the time. Because, sir, you were juggling multiple brands technically during that time just to see how it would work. No, but let's talk a bit more on the positive side. You know, when we struggle, when we do our own struggles as we are, I guess, moving up and the birth pains that happen in the company, you know, there comes a certain point when you feel like, wow, parang this is a milestone or I've made it. When did it feel like that for you in the 25 years of Korean Me? When was the first time you felt like, I'm sorry, in Pure Gelato where you felt, wow, this is going to be good, this is going to succeed?
Well, for Milking Group as in general, RJ, you know, I think the first 10 years was a milestone. No? That was a big celebration. God, finally, we hit the 10th year. No? And that was Pure Gelato. Then came in our 25 years, no? Lalo, from 10 to 25. No? And wow, maybe this is it. We did our 25 year. I said, can I retire? Can I just rest, RJ? Because we already hit 25 years. But God, it was just a start of things happening for us. No? And as I said, now on our 30th, feeling ko, we're just starting another episode of another 30 years. So those stages came in by numbers like 10, 25, and 30. And every time you reach a 10th or 25th or 30th year or anniversary, it feels something new again, RJ. Right now, we are more excited because more will happen for the next few years. Alam mo naman si Milking Group, we keep on developing new concept products, mga tinatawag niyong naka-hibernate, ba? Tawag natin doon, no?
Hibernate lang during the pandemic.
Yes, and they are being developed, waiting for the right time. And when they're ready, we launch it. That's how we think. That's how the culture of the company has been moving for the past 30 years.
So in other words, what we look at really is Milken as a group and just Fior Gelato as a flagship, but not the main brand of Milken. So Milken was really built as a, I guess, a food and beverage innovation company. Is that right? Where you were just churning out ideas?
When Fior Gelato was starting to move and started to divert to like the Trio Mix, which is our Dumburi DM Express. Automatic, they became a Milking Group. That's what happened. But these are all independent companies under one umbrella. And later on came in other companies. And recently, of course, our Kurimi, which is the Kurimi Multi Enterprise company, which is again another independent company under the umbrella of Milking Group. So you're starting to only not manage one, but the rest of the brands, no, which is very effective.
Now, when you were growing Milken, I'm just curious. Okay, you started Fior Gelato. When did you know that it was time to branch out into a new concept? Tell us a bit more about what is the story from Fior Gelato. Then you, all of a sudden you develop Dumburi Mix. How did that come about?
Okay, going back to the 25 years program, I said on this particular stage, no? Plus minus, it can happen 2 years later, it can happen 2 years before the target date. We need to launch a new concept. Of course, obviously, RJ, nasa food tayo, no? Kailan mo naman kami. And we don't go to other industries which are not of our line. No? That's something. You have to focus on area which is of your expertise. So, Trio Mix came in a bit late, much later. I think that was 8-9 years ago for Trio Mix, and eventually the Kurimi, which was a long term plan. No, you know, yung Milti, RJ, even 12 years ago, we really wanted already to get into the business of Milti, but we were small. Nobody even listened to us or even entertained us to get a master franchise. So I said, no problem. We are small, but you can just keep on moving. So I said, maybe I just buy one branch of a milk franchise, RJ, because I believe on the industry. You know, I think this is a industry which will be just right for the era. That's how I read it. Eh. Kanya-kanyang era ang product. Eh. No? So I said, maybe just get a franchise, one store, enjoy the business. But again, I didn't get the opportunity. Most of our colleagues said, Richie, you're just kidding. This is a joke. I don't think you're serious. And I said, no, I am serious. I just want one store. That frustration brought me to the point of, guys, why don't we just create or get a concept from outside the country, which my priority was Japanese. So I have to contact my Japanese partners of Fior Gelato for many
years. Have Japanese? Wait, so sorry. You got Japanese partners for Fior Gelato?
Yes, we opened Fior Gelato with another brand in Japan for the longest time. But we were hit by the big crisis of the tsunami. I think it was 2015, something like 2014. No? So I have to say, pack up kami, RJ. I have to bring back all my equipments and close the stores in Japan. Even Malaysia had to close. So it was an episode which I would say learning. It's a learning thing for us. It was a crisis which had beyond our control. When the Milti came up in 2018, the first thing I did was to collaborate with them. Bring me a Japanese concept, 2018. And we did a test run in 2019 and supposedly a launching of March 2020.
Wow, what great timing, huh?
Yes, RJ. And also my colleague said, Richie, not because we don't believe on you, but I think, guy, you're so crazy. You're just so crazy to continue a new business, a new brand, a known brand, during a crisis. So I said, why not? This is part of the plan. This is part of the plan. I don't even know what will happen the next day. But this is a plan which I believe planning was an effective tool for the past 25 years. So let's just do it. They said, were you afraid? No, not afraid. More of excitement. I was so positive that things will do well with a launching. In fact, there was not even a formal launching, RJ. Baka launching ito ba October pa nga. Hindi pa nga nalo-launch si Kurimi officially.
It was
just a process of just moving as demand comes in. Launching will be just still October, which is 3 years after.
So, very interesting.
Exciting, right? Very exciting. Amazing, I would say.
And when you put Kurimi up, I'm going to go back a bit before we talk a bit more about Kurimi. You Don Buri Mix was also an idea you formulated inside it was a company inside Milky that was formulated. I want to ask you, just why Don Buri? Was it because you're Japanese partners? Was it because you like Japanese food?
First and foremost, I grew up in Japan when I was in grade school. I studied there. And I love not only the culture, but the food. RJ, you know that, no? Japanese food. So a comfort food for me. And obviously, living there for the longest time, ma-absorb mo talaga the interest of not only the culture, but the businesses, no? So I really wanted to have a Japanese concept for the longest time, no? I don't want to buy anymore. I just said to eat in my store. So I said, let's pursue, no? Don Buri Mix, no? Of course, it was really hit by, like most of us, no? Mga inline stores natin, RJ, no? During the pandemic, but it was established well, no? And it had a good base, I would say, no? A foundation, which you can always just keep on pushing the button and pursue a DM Express or Don Buri Mix, no? The foundation was there, although it was hit, but again, it's not an issue. We can always bounce back and continue doing it anytime. Yeah. So this is the reasons why I really wanted the Japanese concept, no? Not because I grew up there, but you like the culture. And,
like the culture.
And the team and, of course, the food.
Here's the interesting thing that I want to ask. I mean, you keep on saying you were hit, but you were able to immediately get up again. Take me back to that pandemic situation. I'm sure, just like you, like my own business, Mercato, you had to close down many different places because of, you know, we couldn't open up. Yeah. What was the exact pivot that you had? What did you have to do? Did you have to downsize? Did you have to change the lineup? Because it's ice cream and it's a product that people must consume at once, and if you don't you know, delivery might have been an option, but we don't know. It weren't built. Fiorgiato might have been built for delivery at the time, for e-commerce and delivery.
Yeah, so exactly.
How did you pivot Fiorgiato and Don Buri during that pandemic?
The good reason behind being prepared for a crisis is you have your assignments done ahead of time. No, we just have to get it from the shelves and implement it. So in the case, RJ was mentioned, how can we reach what will happen with your ice cream or gelato? You will just keep on melting. No? So definitely, we were on board on selling our scooping stations, no, of gelato, which was impossible, and put it into pints. So we were practically selling our pints, no? Our distribution was developed. Kung na rin nagsabi, digital, no? So immediately we had to use this platform during the pandemic. And now you have both. You have your scooping station, the traditional, and you have your online. So these are the benefits of what happened for the past 2 years because we were forced to implement it. Again, these are in the shelves. I will keep on repeating, be prepared. Put them in the shelves. The right time you say you need them, then use it. I think that was the same concept with Rio Mix. Raw restaurants, RJ, both of us were crying, no restaurants for us. Our stores were closed. Like RJ was even quicker than anybody to pivot and create your creations or your businesses. And if there's no restaurants, then we just have to pack all our items and sell it online, our frozen products. So it was a principle that was used basically because you were ready. No, you just don't do it when the crisis is in front of you. You have to be prepared ahead of time.
So you had a sort of business continuity plan that you could pull off the shelf, is that right?
If you will term it that way, maybe yes. But you know, my background was really on business development. All my years with the bank, business development, crisis management. Maybe these things of the past has made me a culture in me to keep on doing this, even if you don't need it. If you don't need it, just develop it. Maybe one day you might need it. And so happened, we need it. So it was easy.
It's like insurance. It's your business insurance. The planning is business insurance.
In a way, RJ. Yeah, in a way.
Got that. So you're playing with this in the mind. I mean, the interesting thing is, I'm thinking about it right now, is that you had Creamy and then you had DMX and you were having to quickly pivot the business, but at the same time, you juggled one more brand, which was Creamy over here. How did you grow that in the midst of this pandemic?
Creamy was a real challenge. Imagine you're already entering a venue wherein there's no lights, no people. You know, what was inside that stadium, if I would say, it is really blanco. But what I was holding on is on a plan, a vision that there is something inside that dark room or that venue. There is something. And all we have to do is be ready and be firm that we will enter that dark room. That was my philosophy that time. And I pursue. And my God, when you enter that dark room, ang liwanag pala sa loob eh. There were so many streams of possible revenues inside that dark room. I think it was really a challenge. Guts lang siguro, pinasukan namin yan.
Wow. And just like how many, you said 2020, you just launched it in the midst of the pandemic. How many Creamies do you have right now?
60 will open by December. Most of them 60? Are under construction. Yeah, under construction, under training. But definitely, it will reach 60 by December.
60 in 2.5 years amidst this pandemic. What an achievement. For you guys.
If you ask me, RJ will keep on asking me, Richie, how did you do it? It was a step by step. It was not overnight. It was really hard work. You know, RJ, bumalik ako sa panahon ng 30 years ago. Ikaw ulit ang captain of the ship. You have to do everything. You have to be on board in all the activities because it's a baby for you, something new. And remember, this is a crisis and you're doing it during a pandemic. Uncertainty, right?
Wow. And were these expanded via company owned or were these franchise stores, much of these stores that you opened up?
Yes. It was a we were trying to balance, no? How many stores we can give as a franchise, how many stores we have to operate as company-owned. And of course, obviously, we need company-owns, no? To really do a lot of testing, no? For the enhancement of Kurimi. Remember, not only we are operating on our own, we are operating with multiple challenges and competitors all over. I think that's one big challenge which we have to not only see, but fully understand.
Wow. And talking about expanding Kurimi by franchising, there may be people also entrepreneurs listening to the show also right now who are wondering, they do have a brand, they have a small company, or whatever they have, a service business or food business. How do they, I mean, based on your experience and on your rich experience, no, how do they know that it's time to finally bring in franchising as a strategy to grow? That's the first question. The second question is, like you were saying, but there has to be a mix between a company-owned and a, you know, company-owned stores and then stores which are franchised. How do they... What is there a certain rule of thumb to know how many stores should be under you and under a franchise? Let's start off with the first question. I'm sure you get that all the time, but how do people know that, you know, my business is good for franchising or it's not good for franchising? And when do I do it?
You know, this is the most tricky part, no? RJ. You know this very well. You are an expert on this. And I keep on telling startup entrepreneurs, be careful of just riding the wagon of the success of franchising. Be very careful. No? It sounds good. It sounds exciting. It sounds amazing because expansion left and right. But remember, these were done by your franchisors, not overnight. It was hard work. And understanding when a particular business is franchisable or not is the biggest challenge. It doesn't mean because I have a Shomai business and the rest of the Shomai brands are doing well, you'll do well. That it doesn't go that way. It's just purely a simple copycat, I would say. Same way with Milti. But what comes there is you have to be different. You have to be unique. You have to be different from the rest of your Shomai counterparts left and right. Otherwise, you're just killing each other. Yung limang piso, naging tatlong piso, tatlong piso, naging piso. Or libre na lang, RJ, buy one, take one. No? This happens because you just keep on riding to the success of what you see. It gets to, you need to have a very unique selling point, no? As they would say, no? Otherwise, it will not move. It will not move, no? It will just be a short leave. And you'll be the same with the rest. So, uniqueness of a new concept for me, no? Is very important, no? RJ is a creator of innovative concepts, no? And you know what I mean here. It's just, if you just keep on doing a simple mercato, RJ, nothing will happen. Yours is
exactly
not only unique, but distinct, I would say. Something really done by experts, something which is different from the rest. So that is very important. I think that's one of the first tasks of an entrepreneur if they decide to franchise their business.
There must be something unique.
Of course, definitely. Never be just a simple copycat. Many were asking, Richie, you still get into a Milti business? Dami na yan. Flooded. Left and right, up and down. Even if your eyes are closed, you will still see a lot of brands. That's how we term it, no? Ang dami. But he said, no, that's not an issue because we have something which we are offering. We're confident with the team, with the concept. And uniqueness was there. Otherwise, bibili na ako ng Milti sa corner. Marami naman eh.
That's right.
Just
that's
to
right.
Satisfy my taste bud, right, RJ? As simple
that's
as
right.
that.
And I just want to emphasize that point. And we always tell people that, you know, some people call it the unique selling proposition. But it's really, you know, it's like saying, you know, so many people right now are saying, get a takoyaki franchise, get a shawarma franchise, get a Milti franchise.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're very generic and, you know, nobody is going to want to get that. I mean, in the longer run, talo yung mga franchisees mo. Because the ones who made the money, the franchisor, but the franchisee, because there's no uniqueness to the concept, it's not going to stand out in the minds of the consumer.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. We have worked on this a lot, RJ, you know, with your Easy Franchise School, Kilababos. We have worked on this a lot. We have discussed on this a lot. on sustainability of brands which can be franchisable.
That's
and,
right.
And we want, of course, to make sure if you start introducing a brand, a concept, that has to be forever, as would say. That has to be sustainable. Sustainability is important. It cannot be 1 year, 2 years, and forget about that. Your franchises will kill you. That will kill us. So these are very critical initial part of planning, no? If you want to get into this kind of industry.
So let's just for an academic exercise, what is the franchisability of Pure Gelato? What did it make? What made it different from, let's say, getting any other ice cream?
I think first and foremost, during when we started 30 years ago, very few were in the gelato business. If I just wanted an ice cream or sorbetes, ang dami. It's all over, no? Si Manong sorbetero pa lang, papatayin ka na sa streets, right? They're all over. But I really wanted to create something which is of a premium, no? Gelato, done fresh on site, fresh, a bit healthy, I would say. More gourmet. It was a niche which we started with Pure Gelato, and the rest is history.
Got that. And then having said that, no, let's take a look now at Don Buri Mix. I mean, Japanese food, dime a dozen yan technically. So what made the Don Buri Mix different?
Well, in the case of Don Buri, the concept was preparing quick Japanese food on your fresh on site, no, just in front of you, no. So we created counters or even kiosks, wherein these items are prepared fresh in your face, right in your face. Freshness was important because most of the stores will just do their products back in the kitchen or maybe medyo ilang hours na on board. No? So in our case, we wanted to create Japanese street food, no, fresh on site, seen by people, and they can just eat it instantly. So it was a concept designed for DM Express, no? And the same way, of course, with Kurimi.
Got it. And finally, Kurimi, in the universe of milk teas out there, what made it stand out? I mean, to my mind, I see it, but I would just want to help other people also see it as well among the consumers or among people.
Well,
who
of course, I'm a lover of milk tea of many brands, no? I love the brands. I love their recipe, their taste. Their each and every milk tea shop is unique, I would say, no? It has its unique taste and presentation. But in the case of Kurimi, I said it has to be outside the box, RJ. I keep on repeating this because it will be, if you just create a milk tea shop, it's just the same. No? It's just the same. There are two parts, no? The taste and the theme, the ambiance, the look. And we need both to be unique. Now, in fact, we're already thinking of a third element to make it more unique. This is part of the innovation that's happening very fast, no? So without the first two elements, out ako sa ice cream, sa milk tea. I would not even pursue. So I think that was the basic reason why we created Kurimi, no? Each and every store is unique from the rest of the 59 stores. So not uniqueness that was there. I myself, when I create a store, we're building up a store, the excitement is very high because each and every store I design. I design the store with the group. And being a small kid living in Japan, the memories is very clear. Now you, not only because you read it in the books, you see on your, you watch your Netflix or your video, etc. You were there for many years. And you, if like in the case of my 2D look at the
behind you.
A typical Shibuya. No? It's a Shibuya crossing, which we are very familiar. No, each in particular building, I can even imagine in my if I close my eyes, even the Hachiko Dog, which is very famous there. And this is a concept which is of a collaboration with the franchisee of the franchise store. So each and every store, we discuss it with the franchisee. Mom, sir, if you want to open a Kurimi, and what theme do you want? Japanese, of course. What will be the first thing in your mind? A famous place, a famous, doon ba kayo una nag-date ni sir? Doon ba kayo nag-honeymoon ni sir o ni ma'am? Something which is close to your heart. So each and every store, RJ, has a story to tell. Not only of the 2D look, but of the franchisee.
Nice.
May kwento yan.
Diba,
yes,
para,
may kasama nga sila sa mga drawing minsan. Richie, ako yun, di ba? Yes, we did it for you. Isa, may mga anime kimono girl na si Ma'am yun, ha? It's a look of the owner of the store. So this is not just a simple milk tea. It is really a premium, I would say, maybe an art piece, I would say, because these are all done by hand. These are not stickers. These are...
Wow, really, ha? Huh? Wow, I didn't realize that.
Oh, makakatuwa yan. Kaya whenever we open a store, I would go there because I would direct exactly what I want the artist to execute.
It's like you're franchising, but you're still customizing at the same time, which is a kind of a unique idea because usually...
That is the point I was mentioning. It has to be unique. Hindi na pwedeng copycat tayo pare-pareho. You're into... Otherwise, bibili na lang ako ng paborito nating milk tea, mga friends natin, di ba? Bibili na lang ako, I'll be satisfied. Hindi pwede. It has to be different. Not only the ambience, but even the recipe are all concocted by us. Sariling taste. Hindi pwedeng over the counter. Pastay dyan. Pastay dyan.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm really getting a lot of insight over here, Richie. And another insight I also want to gain is, I guess this is based on corporate objectives of the mother company. But then how do you know what is the balance between how many franchises you'd have and how many corporate company owned? Like, for example, even McDonald's has company owned and has some franchises. Jollibee's got that. And from large and small companies which are into this type of business, into food, usually do have franchises. But how do you know what's the mix for you?
Well, for each and every industry on franchising, they have the numbers on the percentage of how it has to be in proportion. No? And in our case, speaking of Kurimi, for me, if I get a couple of company stores on a specific location, which I need, then we're fine. We're fine. I just need, because you want to make sure that the market, no, will accept a Kurimi. So maybe I would get a location of an A market, a B market, a C market, no? And understand it. In that way, if there would be some franchisees within that class level who would like to open a franchise, I would know, no? And of course, it's a rule of thumb, never franchise without a company owned. But the numbers, it really depend on you, on your objective, why you're opening company owned stores.
Got that. Now, Richie, I know you told me earlier on that, you know, Milken still has a lot of concepts in the pipeline. Not that we want you to reveal what these concepts are, but then how do you, what's the methodology now to approach how to create new food companies, especially given the fact that people might think, wow, I mean, milk tea, gasgas na yan, but you did something interesting. Japanese food, gasgas na yan, but you did something. And in time mo, ice cream could have been generic as well, di ba? Yeah, but you were able to do something. So what is sort of like the philosophy moving forward? I know that, you know, you talked about the idea of uniqueness, a strong, something customized over there. But moving forward, how do you create these really great concepts that will emerge?
There's what we call a innovative box, I would say. It's a box, a toolbox, which has been a culture for the past 3 decades. And that the toolbox is where we use it when we need it. So if I feel that a certain brand need a lot of innovation, no, or enhancement, I just open the toolbox. No? And once you open the toolbox, doon na pumapasok sa yung tinatawag namin mad scientist, Archie. We do a lot of innovation, creation. And from there, no, there's no exact recipe on this or exact formula. No? It's really something that skills of the people behind the company comes out. And when I said Kurimi has a lot in store, these are coming from the toolbox. No? It's not just open the toolbox and use it. Of course, you get the tools and you do your product innovation. It's a process. It's a process. Again, you have to do it. Don't wait for that time that, because I have to do it. So I need this. You have to do it anytime because that is part of your planning.
And in terms of the planning, no, as we start to wrap up this conversation, it's very, very interesting, Richie. No, for example, when it comes to the point that many people who are starting off, they might think that, you know, there's no more space left for me because usually people are starting out, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, but all these concepts are already out there. What do you think are still the opportunities that you see? Let's say that if you didn't pursue them, Richie, if you had, like right now, you're pursuing so many different opportunities, so there are things that you've left behind, but then what opportunities do you see emerging for entrepreneurs who want to enter into the food space?
Okay, first and foremost, there is no such thing as saturated. Every day that we live, we breathe, there is something new out there. Okay? If there is no definite new concept that is available, again, there is what we call innovation, creativity of an existing concept. There is always a room for that. RJ, nagugulat tayo minsan, bigla lang, sabi ni RJ, Richie, ba't di ko naisip yun? Pwede pala yun. Di ba?
Oh, yan yung mga, kasi tayo, ba't di ko naisip yun? Exactly, those situations na yan.
So, RJ, ikaw, expert ka dyan, RJ, I know that. And you just think, so, what I want to stress here is, in any existing business, there is so much space and room to enhance, innovate it. Remember, sa mundong ito, paulit-ulit naman eh. Bihira naman talagang may magpapap-up na new concept na from heaven. Once in a lifetime, maybe. But most that you will see are, balikan natin ang successful brands. There are a lot of twists, a lot of innovation that makes them different. That's it. You just have to open your eyes. Alam mo, I have encountered a lot of entrepreneurs. Sir, ilang linggo, ilang buwan na kami nag-iisip ng concept. Ayaw na namin. We're so burned out, RJ.
So jaded na, di ba? Kasi lahat ng creative juices mo talagang sinigana.
But you don't have to go. Just look around. Focus on the interest of what you want to do. And there is something just beside you. Huwag kayong magpakasira ng ulo. It will not be seen in heaven or in a market wherein everything is displayed there for new items. It's just around. You just have to be creative and see the distinction of a concept.
Wow. Thanks a lot, Ricky, for a lot of the inspiration that you've given to us here now.
Of course, yeah,
now, as we start to wrap up this conversation, you did say that, you know, you were Bilkin and Sorbetes for Gelato at the very start was part of a 25-year plan. Who plans 25 years? Not everybody, but as you can see from your success, successful people plan way ahead of time. But if you were to, you know, reflect right now, what would be the best, I guess, pieces of management advice or management hacks that you've learned over the years that you'd like to share with your fellow entrepreneurs as they make their own, as they brave their own way to this new normal environment?
Yes, RJ, I think first and foremost, you have to enhance your skills no matter what that is. No, it's because I enhance my marketing skills or my financial side of things or the other aspect. For me, no matter, you just have to enhance your skills because you would need it one day as a tool. Remember, I keep on telling that box of toolbox, no? Which I've been mentioning. So that's one. You have to enhance, keep enhancing your skill. No? And do plan. Like in our case, planning was a Bible for us. I would not move without a business plan because that's your guide. Otherwise, siguro, RJ, lost track na ako, out track na ako all these years with all the distractions. It's obvious to most of us entrepreneurs. It happens. But in this case, plan it. Plan it. You have to be sure of what you want to do. Like Corimi, ako nakaplano. It was a plan thing. That's why nagulat kayo. Richie, how do you do these things? It's a plan. No? It's what I call in the office a synchronized program for everybody. From my part to my officers and the rest of the team, it has to be synchronized. And lastly, get into a business. Obviously, we keep on ano na to, broken record na to. Get into business. We have you where you have already a skill, no? Not only the interest, but meron ka na ring alam. That's important eh, because it makes things easier for you to be flexible in your journey, in your business. So I think those three items for now. are important.
Well, thanks so much, Richie, for taking time out to share really great insights. I know it's a lot of preparation that you're doing here again. So again, it's the 30th anniversary of Milken this coming September 14. Very glad to be hosting that event. Richie, any promos right now for the Milken Group that anybody can expect for the 30th anniversary?
Well, September 14, which is the anniversary of the Milken Group, no? I know all the branches are giving free first 30 customers for a free milk tea.
Yeah, hey.
To buy anything, just be there the first 30 or this is nationwide for all the stores.
Creamy.
Yes, all Kurimi stores.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then just in case you've got people here listening right now who are interested to actually franchise a Kurimi branch, and this can be anywhere in the country, right?
Yep. Anywhere in the country, yes.
Yeah, so wait, just so people just know, you've got Kurimi here in Metro Manila, but what's the farthest Kurimi that you have right now from Metro Manila?
It's spread out from up the Tugigaraw, up north, down Jensan or Zamboanga or Marawi, down the south. And of course, we are happy. And in fact, RJ, you'll be meeting our US Kurimi group. No? They're coming here. They're flying, I think, tomorrow night, to be part of the big event. We are having like 220. RJ, dami mong bisita. Iko pa naman mag-host. No? And these are solid franchises of the brands. No? In fact, I didn't even invite friends or relatives. These are purely franchisees. And some of the organizations, no, which I'm involved, of course, is a franchise there.
Thank you so much. Of course, our friends from PFA and Go Negosyo.
CCI, Go Negosyo, DTI. These are the core which has been helping Kurimi for the past, I mean, Milken Corporation for the past 30 years. So, wow. Of course, I'm very excited because we have the most sought RJ.
Thanks so much for the kind words.
Knows my history.
Thank you, Richie. Yes. So again, if somebody wants to get a franchise, where can they? Whom can they contact?
Of course, they can just on our. Of course, check on our website, no, www.kurimimilti.com, and of course, you can get my number 0917-564-9414. Clearly.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Richie Kuna. And again, thanks so much for supporting as well my own startup, Easy Franchise, and helping our OFW entrepreneurs invest in their own franchise of their dreams. So again, thanks so much, Richie. And we'll see you guys in the next episode of the RJ Ladesa Podcast. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you. Take care.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.